Let me say one last thing so I don't forget later. You're going to want to be here next week. We have a huge surprise next week, and I will tell you this, and it involves food, okay? So that will get some of you back. Maybe that'll get some from home, and so you're going to want to be a part of that, but I promise you, Hunter's hungry, and I don't think he can handle Marianne's, Guatemalan cooking, but anyway, let me get into the message then. Thank you again for being here. So last Sunday, a week ago Sunday, I was speaking on a topic that we were talking about the obvious truth of how really, really hard it is to be like Jesus, right? I mean, it's really, really tough. Particularly, we were speaking about this thing where the Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that Jesus was full of grace and truth. We were talking about the fact that that's difficult for us because we often see those two things in contrast to one another. And many of us, in many churches, and many of us as individuals, you know, we have a tendency to lean more toward truth. Well, you know, boy, I have people sometimes will say to me, boy, Pastor, you need to preach about sin. You need to preach about sin. By the way, I'm going to preach about sin today. It may not be the way you think, but I'm going to. In fact, I always do. But it's sort of that we sort of tend to lean toward truth. I used to lean really hard toward truth, and not so much about grace. Not so much toward grace, because grace is more that mercy and forgiveness and all those things. And we have a tendency naturally to feel like we're supposed to balance those two things, but we're not supposed to balance those two things. In fact, that was the title last week. We don't balance those two things. Instead of being unbalanced, what we do is we become incomplete. If I lean toward truth and draw away from grace, then I'm just incomplete in grace. Everybody follow me? And so what Jesus was full of both. Jesus was full of grace and truth all the time. Now, I was asked after this, and I really appreciated one of my trusted counselors and a friend and one of members of our church and said, hey, I really think you should expand that message. And so I was just thinking this week, and I was meditating and praying about it. And kind of thinking about, what is it about us that makes us sort of tend to lean one way or the other? What is it that makes some of us maybe lean more toward truth and not as much toward grace, or the opposite, maybe too much toward grace, you know, like anything's okay and everything's okay, and not enough truth about the Word of God? And what is it about us that does that? And I believe I want to take that in a little bit of a different direction, but expand on that. And I was thinking about it, I think it has a lot to do with our attitude about sin. How we perceive sin. Now, if I did an experiment here, by the way, if I said, and I'm not going to do this, but if I said, hey, I want you to start naming some sins. I'm not doing that, okay? I'm not asking you to name the sins. But if I did, you know, if I said, hey, just start shouting out some sins. Shout out your favorite sin. No, just shout out your, you know, we would all, I mean, there are some that we would just go to naturally. We would be going to, you know, many would just go right to the Ten Commandments. I mean, you can go right there to the thou shalt nots, right? Don't lie, don't, you know, stealing is a sin, lying is a sin, this is a sin, that's a sin, committing adultery is a sin, this is, a, you know, all those things. And that's what most of us would do, and we would tend to go that direction. And all of those really have, and by the way, just so that we're all clear, what we would probably, most of us would be doing are the ones we don't struggle with so much. If I said, hey, name some sins, I'd be naming the ones that I don't struggle with most of the time. We would be naming the ones that, and let's be honest, there are a lot of Christians, and there may be some of you, I certainly used to be this way, that we believe some sins are worse than others. There are some there, but that's a common belief. Well, you know, this is a sin. You know, we say that because, well, I know this one's so much worse and God feels so much more strongly about this one. No, Jesus was pretty clear about that. Jesus said very, very clearly that basically if you've broken one sin, you've broken them all. In fact, let me go ahead and show it to you in James chapter 4 and verse number 17. And oh, I'm sorry. No, that's the wrong one. Get that off of there. Get that off of there. That's a surprise. No, he said, look, if you've broken one commandment, you've broken all the commandments. I mean, that's what he said. And so we have these feelings. So here's what I was processing this week and what I want to share with you this morning. If I had asked for all these, you know, shout out a sin, nearly all of those would more than likely be what I'm going to call sins of commission. In other words, they would be things that we do that we're not supposed to do. Right? Now you think about what comes into your head when you're thinking about a sin. It would be, well, I think, you know, this addiction or this bad habit or this, you know, the way we, you know, saying this word or this kind of thing or doing this act. Those are the things that most of us would think about. I would call those active sins. In other words, they're things that we do. And we know they're the easy ones to see, and that's kind of what we would think about. But you know, there's another kind of sin. There's another kind of sin that I would call passive sins or sins of omission. In other words, yes, it's wrong to do things we're not supposed to do, but Jesus said it's just as wrong to not do the things you're supposed to do. Right? Sins of omission. Let me give you the scripture here about that, and that's kind of where I was headed with that verse. And here's what the book of James chapter 4 and verse 17 says. It says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. He didn't say it's neutral. He didn't say, well, look, if you do the things that are wrong, that's sin, you know. But if you just ignore the things you're supposed to do, well, that's, you know, you just kind of, you know, you just haven't done. No, he said that is also sin. Let me give you some examples. I mean, we all know, okay, I have a wife. It's obvious. I'm not supposed to commit adultery, yes? That would be an active sin, and we all know that's wrong. But Jesus was just as emphatic when he said, you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church. So watch. Just because I have never committed adultery with my wife, if I fail to love her the way Christ loved the church, I am just as guilty of sin as if I had. It's okay, you can say amen there. Now, so the point is, what we're talking about today, and so when we start thinking about this, you know, we have this terrible tendency to compare sins, don't we? We have this terrible tendency within ourselves to compare sins, but this is one that we need to think about. You know, we have a tendency to equate truth, I think, oftentimes, you know, with the law and, you know, and actively committing some sin or actively doing something that we should not do. And it's particularly easy, you know, by the way, it's particularly easy to spot that in others, isn't it? See, it's really easy for you to look at me and say, oh man, look what he did. He did this and that's sinful. And I'm looking at this person and I see what they're doing. I see how they're living. You know, they're doing this and they're not married, or they're doing this and they're not with the right person. You know, they're engaging in this. It's easy to look at other people and spot those kind of active sins when we see somebody doing something. Yes? But none of us know, and it's much harder to spot within ourselves our sins of omission. See, we get to thinking we're doing pretty well because, well, I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do this. Yeah, but can you tell me what you do do? Are we guilty of not doing the things Jesus told us to do because we're so focused on not doing the things he told us not to do? Do you follow me? I hope you do. I think it's really, really important, because what we tend to do and what a lot of Christians tend to do, and I deal with this as a pastor, and I deal with this trying to help people to get along, because what it seems like happens so often, the people who want to focus only on the things we're not supposed to do, they have a tendency to be very judgmental of other people. Very judgmental. And, well, I see this, and this person's doing this, and I can't tolerate that, you know, and I think I should say something. Well, wait a minute, time out. Before you start saying something to someone else about their active sins, you better stop and first make sure that your passive sins are in good order. Let's make sure that we're doing the things we're supposed to be doing before we worry about what someone else is doing that they shouldn't be doing. Okay. So let's get into this then. So, you know, just as strongly as God said, thou shalt not lie, you know, he also said this in Ephesians chapter 4. He said, be ye kind one to another. Well, there's no period there, but can we just put a period there mentally for a second? All right, before we ever worry about what somebody else is doing that they should not do, Can we put a period right after that? And let's just take that one command and be kind one to another. How you doing with that? How are we doing? How am I doing with that? Because the truth is, if I can't get past that word another right there, if I'm not being kind, it doesn't make any difference what anybody else is doing in this world, because I am not right with God. Yes? If we are not being kind, then we have broken all of the laws, and there is nothing for us to judge in any other person on the face of this earth, and it doesn't matter what they're doing. Right? Because I've already broken that one. So we can move on. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, period. Let's put another period there. How are we doing with that one? Forgiving one another. Listen, if there is someone in my life that I have not forgiven, then guess what? I am as guilty as any adulterer, pedophile, murderer, liar, you name it. Before God, I am just as guilty as everybody else. There is nothing for me to judge in a single other person on the face of this earth. That's what God said. Jesus said, you break one, you break them all. And the sins of omission are just as big a deal to him as they are the sins of commission. In fact, if you think about what Jesus said, you know, Jesus, when he was asked one time, I'm out of place in my message, but I think it fits right here, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Jesus was asked one time, he said, hey, what are the most important commandments, Jesus? Tell me what is the most important thing. He didn't say, well, the most important thing is that you tithe. You know, the most important thing, the most important thing is you don't kill anybody, you don't lie to anybody, you don't steal from anybody, you don't commit adultery with anybody, you don't covet somebody's whatever. He went right for what most of us omit. He said, love one another. He said, you just simply need to love one another. So, and why did he say that? Why did he say that was the most important one? Because he said, you'll always know the sins of commission. You can name those easily. What you need to worry about are the sins of omission just as much. Now look, that doesn't mean we should just go out and live any way we want to as long as we love everybody, okay? By the way, you can't go out and just live any way you want to without, here's what Jesus was basically saying. He was saying, look, if I love Jeff the way I'm supposed to love Jeff, I won't steal from him. If I love Jeff the way I'm supposed to love Jeff, I won't be unkind to him. See, the others all take care of themselves when we get the ones that Jesus said were most important right. And the rest of them sort of just fall into place. And so he said, you know, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you. And so what he was basically saying was, don't fail to do the things you're supposed to do. You need to worry about that just as much as not lying, not stealing, not cheating, not doing heroin, not being an alcoholic, basically what he was saying was, being a jerk is just as big a sin as being, you know, perfect, you know, having all your affairs in order. Thank you, Bill. Well, you didn't know that being a jerk is a sin? Well, you can't be a jerk and do that one, right? Isn't that kind of the opposite of being a jerk? Yeah. So he basically said, look, you just need, you until you get these right, don't worry about what somebody else is doing. Don't worry so much about the sins of commission of others until you get this one right. All right, so, we're already bad about comparing sins. We're already bad about comparing our active sins. Well, now this sort of takes hypocrisy to a whole new level, doesn't it? Yep. This takes our hypocrisy to a whole new level where we start saying, well, I am so much better. In fact, that sounds like a story that we find in Scripture. So Jesus told a story about two men who went to the temple to pray. Let's just go ahead and jump into that. Luke chapter number 18 and verse 10. Jesus said, let me illustrate this principle for you. Two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. He's also called a publican in the King James. So let me kind of just share with you what these are. So a Pharisee today for us, we use that as a really bad term. It's like they were terrible people and all that. But back in the days of Jesus, they weren't. They were actually the ultra religious people. They actually believed the Old Testament law, which they should have because that's what they were living under. And they obeyed the law. They knew the law. They obeyed the law. They were actually doing everything they could to try to please God. Please don't misunderstand what they were doing back then. They were actually doing all the law and all those things. They would be what we would call leaning really heavily toward truth. Okay? The publican or the tax collector, on the other hand, everybody hated tax collectors. They were cheats. They were traitors to their own people and unjust. He probably would have clung to grace. He didn't have the issue of all these right things in his life, these outward sins of commission, right? In fact, he was doing all the things he shouldn't do. So he would probably hang on to grace. Now, Jesus said both of them went up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee, that's the ultra-religious, ultra-right, obeying the law, you know, probably lived a good, good moral life. And I believe he was very sincere too, by the way. And he stood and he prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Wow. Wow. See, we look at that, we hear that, and it's like, what a jerk. Right? But I think he was being sincere. I think he was honestly saying, God, thank you. You've brought me to a place in my life where I know better. Thank you for the experience I've had in my life, God, where I don't have the baggage. Look, that's a wonderful testimony, yes? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong if you have lived your life in such a way where you can stand and say, God, thank you that I didn't get involved in this when I was a teenager, and I didn't get involved in this when I was in my 20s, and I thank you for sparing me all that, God. There is nothing wrong with having that testimony. The problem is very few of us do, right? And so, but this was the Pharisee's testimony. He said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. Now, wait, what? Remember, the tax collector, the publican, he's over there, and that's exactly what he is. That's what they did. They extorted money. They forced people to give more than they were supposed to give. He said, thank you that I'm not unjust. Thank you that I'm not an adulterer. We don't know about that, but thank you, or even as this tax collector. And so this Pharisee was saying, God, thank you that I am not like other men. What was he focusing on? He was focusing on all these sins of commission, right? Extorting money, treating people unfairly, committing adultery, all these things. These are all acts of commission, sins of commission. But the publican, the tax collector, here's what he said, verse 12. Oh, no, sorry. He goes on. He said, I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. So again, he's focused on all these active things. Now, verse 13. And the tax collector, standing afar off, he would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, you notice he wasn't focused on anything other than he said, look, God, I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. So we have these two. Now, how did Jesus see these things? See, we would look at this and say, well, you know, boy, you know, this other guy seems like he had it all right. You know, he did all these right things. He didn't do all the wrong things. But watch what Jesus said about them. Verse number 14. Jesus said, I tell you, this man, talking about the tax collector, he went down to his house justified, that means without sin, meaning being forgiven, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be abased. Jesus sees sin a little differently than we do, doesn't he? Jesus sees sin a little differently than we do. We focus and we see all the sins of commission so easily in other people. But Jesus was very, very concerned about the sins of omission as well. He was basically saying, look, what you fail to do, which is right, in this case, humble yourself, is just as important, if not more, than doing all those other right things and not doing all those other wrong things. You know, we have another story, and we have a hunter who would like some attention. Hi, Hunter. He's finding his voice. Now, out of the mouths of babes, right? Jesus told us another story. He told us one time there was a... He went on. He said, let me tell you another story. There's a story of a man who had two sons. And these two sons were quite opposite of one another. But the younger son came to his dad and said, "Dad, I want to have, give me my inheritance that I'm going to get someday." And the Bible says he went off out into the world and he spent that money on everything that we're talking about. All those vices, all those sinful activities. It says he went out and he got harlots and he spent it on, you know, he partied. Basically, he went out and he partied and he went through all of his money. You follow me? You know the story, yes? It's called The Prodigal Son. That was the younger son. He went off and did all of these things that we talk about as sins of commission, these things that we're not supposed to do. He did all of them. And he went off and he learned his lesson, and then he decided to come home. But you see, there was another son. We call it the story of the prodigal son, but there were two sons. There was an older son who had stayed home, and he did not do all of those wrong things. He did not go out. In fact, he reminded his dad later. He said, "Hey, I didn't go out and spend money on this, and I didn't go out and do these things. I didn't go out and party like this, and I wasn't out doing all these things." And he was focused, just like we do so much, on all of these things that his brother did. But his dad was looking at him and saying, "But he's back now. Why aren't you happy? Have you forgotten about the commandments that we're supposed to do, like love one another, like forgive one another, like not judge one another?" Do you see the point here? Mm-hmm. The father was trying to teach his son, "Hey, yes, all those things he did were wrong. Yes, all those things were wicked. Yes, all those things were sinful." But his dad was saying, "But it's just as sinful for him to come home and you not to be happy about it. It's just as sinful for him to come home and you not to be happy about it." When a sinner comes back to God, God's people should be happy about it. Not, "Well, what were they doing? And I wonder if they're really back for real." No, you know what? Shut up. Shut your pie hole. I'm serious. When a sinner's coming back to Jesus, and by the way, we're all sinners. But when somebody who's made some mistakes is coming back to God, coming back to the Father, leave them alone. Amen. That's how God wants it. And he said, "Your sin." So that God, that father was disappointed in both of his sons. Right? He was disappointed in his younger son for what he did. He was just as disappointed, if not more so, in his older son for what he did not do. He was so disappointed that his older son wouldn't come in and welcome his younger brother back. Wouldn't celebrate with him. Wasn't happy with him. Wouldn't forgive his younger brother. He was. And by the way, the younger son, if you'll remember, so what's the key? The younger son, he realized he was wrong, and he, here's the word, he repented. He repented. And by the way, that's what we all need to be doing. When we realize we're wrong, it's called repentance. It's called being sorry. It's called realizing I shouldn't have done this and I wish I hadn't done it, and being honest with God and saying, "God, I did this," like the publican. "God, I'm sorry. I'm such a sinner. Please be merciful to me." It's that kind of an attitude that God is looking for. That's what Jesus is looking for. And what he's not looking for are the others of God's children to be looking at that one who's repenting and saying, "Well, I wonder if he means it." Shut up. Mind your own business. You got your own stuff to worry about. You got your own sins to worry about. You've got your own sins of commission. Oh, you got all those right? Good for you. How about the fact that you're not very nice? Look, some of you might think I'm preaching at somebody. I'm not really preaching at anybody, but this is how Christianity got such a bad name. This is why some people don't want to go to church anymore. Amen. This is why some people stay away from church. They're like, "Look, that's exactly what I got. That's why I don't go to church. That's why I don't want to be a part of anything like that." Because everybody's so judgmental and all these things. And yes, we're all like that sometimes. Because we focus on these sins of commission that everybody else is doing instead of these sins of omission that we have failed in. And Jesus said, "Yeah." And by the way, those two boys, the younger one repented for the sins of commission. The older one never repented. He never repented. He was never sorry for his attitude about the younger brother. And so who do you think the father was most disappointed in. Now, let me wrap this up. You see, it's not, please understand, don't misunderstand me. It is not that the sins, it's not our active sins that they're not a problem. They are a problem. Look, when I do things I should not do, that is a problem. It is sin. When if I lie, if I cheat, if I steal, if I cuss, if I beat, all these things, if I do those things, if I hurt somebody, if I'm unjust, those are all terrible sins, and you know, all those things, and our world is filled with all that. It's not hard to spot those. It's not hard to see how wicked our world has become. Our world has taken, for example, sexual concepts and just so perverted those that it's no wonder our children are so confused and have no clue what's going on. It's no wonder. Yes, those things are all wrong. They're called sins of the flesh. In other words, the Bible calls them, we're going to go to the scripture, the Bible calls them sins of the flesh. In other words, if we let our bodies just run with whatever they want, here's what we're going to do. Let me show them to you. Galatians chapter number 5, verse 19. Jesus said, look, if you just let yourself go, if you just do whatever you feel like doing, here's what you're going to end up doing. The works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. How about that? Outbursts of wrath. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. The list just goes on and on. Envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries. Look, we don't need this list to know these, do we? I mean, he gave it to us. You know something I will never forget? I did a wedding a few years ago back at our old building. It was a young man. He was an African-American young man, and he was marrying a white girl. And his pastor wouldn't do it because he didn't believe in that kind of thing. He was a Marine, and he came to me, and they were living together. And by the way, she was 8.5 months pregnant. We thought she was going in labor at the rehearsal. It's like, wow, we better just go ahead and do this thing now. But I'll never forget what this big, strong Marine, after the wedding was over, he came up to me. You know this guy, this couple. He came up to me and he grabbed me and he pulled me in real soon. He said, Pastor, I want to thank you. He said, you know, everybody's been telling us all the things we've been doing wrong. He said, I already knew what I was doing wrong. He said, we already knew all the things we did wrong. We just wanted somebody to tell us what to do right. And I'll never forget that. He said, Pastor, we just want to do it the right way. We just want somebody to tell us what to do right. He said, thank you for marrying us. And they married and had their, and by the way, they're happy, serving the Lord best they can. They're trying to serve the Lord. They're good. They're a good family. You see, everybody was so focused on their sins of commission. And all the people who were so focused on their sins of commission didn't realize how sinful they were by not loving them, by not showing them grace, by not caring for them, by not helping them. Those are the things that we find that Jesus wanted us to focus on. So here we go. So I wanted you to see this list. So here we go. These are all obvious things, yes? All these works of the flesh. But do you know how Paul followed this up? He followed this up with something called the fruits of the Spirit. Watch this. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, goodness, faithfulness, temperance, and all those things. So watch, here's the point, and I'm done. The works of the flesh are obvious. Which is worse, church? Which is worse? To do one of the works of the flesh or to not do one of the works of the Spirit? You tell me. They are the same, Sarah. Thank you. They're exactly the same. So you can go through that list of all those works of the flesh, and you can say, well, I'm glad I don't do those, don't do those, don't do those, don't do those, don't do those. But may I ask you, can you also go through that list of the fruits of the Spirit and say, I do that, I do that, I do that, I do that? I can't. I can't say that. I can't say that. I can't say that I've got all those things that I'm doing right. I can't say that I am loving people like I'm supposed to. I can't say that I'm as forgiving as I'm supposed to be. I can't say that I'm kind all the time. I can't say that I love my wife as Christ loved the church. I don't think I'm there yet. I'm trying. Those are just as great as sins as if I were out here doing all kinds of typical sins. We're just as guilty. And we all need to stop and take a look at ourselves and say, where am I? Not yes, pay attention to the sins of commission. Don't get me wrong. If we're doing things we shouldn't do, we need to stop. But I think the harder thing for us is to look at ourselves and say, but am I doing all the things that I'm supposed to? Particularly, am I loving people? Am I forgiving one another? And am I being kind? And those were the things that Paul thought were so important.